Less to get excited about when addressing the Toronto Maple Leafs. A loss in Vegas on, I guess it was Monday night. Not even getting my days correct here. But to break that down, we've got the authority on the Leafs here. Sportsnet 590, The Fan. Nick Kyprios, former NHL forward, of course, and co-host of Real Kipper and Bourne. Kipper, thanks for staying up and coming on early with us here.
I didn't go to bed. I just went right off the Leaf Vegas game right into your show.
That's pretty much how it happened with us as well.
Justin was crushing a Red Bull this morning like a degenerate.
I actually taped some of the game, watched it this morning. I've been up since 3 a.m. watching and discussing the Leaf, so I'm pretty disgusted with myself, to be honest.
Listen, well, whatever it takes, right? Just get
Find
the
a
job
way.
Done.
Find a way. Chip in a chair. Do you feel shortchanged that you didn't get to play in Vegas at all?
Not really. I just recall in my career that once you started finding out there was kind of cool new places to go in Florida and Dallas, Texas, and these are places that you never envisioned, even if you had your dream come true to playing in the NHL, going to visit. And that in itself was a lot of fun. As far as Vegas is concerned, it's the gambling, obviously, that's the differential between any other place on the circuit. But, still lots of fun going down to places like Florida and actually in the middle of winter jumping on a jet ski. And, the whole key in all of this is make sure you're playing well enough that when you are on a jet ski and if the coaching staff sees you, you're not feeling too guilty, right?
Right. And of course, no social media. So you don't have to worry about fishing pics getting out and getting criticized. That was a couple of years ago now, but so, of course
the worst part for the Leaf players today is I don't know what happened last night after the game. But they were scheduled for a day off, so there would have been activity booked or at least thought of. And are they going to the rink today? Probably not. They'll get their day off. They'll just have to play golf a little guilty today.
Yeah, a couple days off before and after. It was setting up for what could have been a good trip, but of course they don't get the job done, and they'll be guilty, if anything at all. The big story last night was Phil Kessel matching the NHL consecutive games played mark at 989. Can you even imagine playing that many games in a row, Kipper?
I ran out of gas at like 440 or 450. But then again, no, I played a lot different than Phil.
That is true.
I'm not sure Phil...
Is that the key to longevity?
I'm not sure Phil would have made these numbers if he played a little bit more like me either. So, but all kidding aside, I think it is a heck of an accomplishment. It's a lot of games. It's a lot of consecutive games where you're healthy enough, to go. And that in itself is remarkable, but you know, Phil's been a talented guy that, has been able to use that speed of his and that shot of his, to make sure that, the coaching staff is penciling him in every night.
I think the best stat from last night that was his last missed game was at the start of John Tavares' rookie season. And we've been talking all year about, hey, how did these last few years of John Tavares, how are they going to look? And we're talking about a player who played his entire career so far, that being John Tavares' career. I can't imagine anyone catches him. I mean, I guess we couldn't imagine anyone catching Gretzky. That might happen. So these marks will fall, but it feels like it's going to be a long, long time before anyone catches up to Phil.
Yeah, I agree with that. And maybe more than ever with so many different things going on in this world, including new viruses that are coming up. And, you know, maybe we'll create an award for best immune system in the NHL. No, you know, just battling flus and viruses these days are as big of a challenge than injury.
Okay, so I know you talked about it on Real Kipper and Bourne yesterday, but your case for Phil Kessel being a Hall of Famer or not a Hall of Famer?
I'm not. Ailish, I got to be honest with you, man. I'm not overly passionate about this subject or topic. Mm-hmm. I'm probably like one of the weaker guys when it comes to who should be in and who should be out. And I don't know. I just don't dig in deep enough probably on the matter. But I will say that, you know, his numbers are not overwhelming at now just 400 goals. And I think he's still shy of 1,000 points. No major awards. A couple Stanley Cups, which is great. But there might be a few others that that fall in that ballpark. Mm-hmm. As far as, you know, where do we go here and how high is the bar jumped in the last few years with a lot of these modern day players coming up, and what do they need to do to really show distance between themselves and you know, average or above average NHL players? And I don't see it. And I appreciate what he did on a third line in Pittsburgh, but seldom do we talk about Stanley Cup champions on the third line making mm-hmm. the Hall of Fame.
Well, you're a Hall of Famer in our books, whether you made it or not.
With no sleep, you just warm my heart.
That's right. Okay, Kipper, so looking at yesterday's game and maybe the last selection of games, looks like the Maple Leafs come out nice and slow and lackadaisical to start the period or the game. What do you make of that, and how do you fix that?
Yeah, that's just, I think when it comes to accountability, you just go back to the head coach and you just say, why isn't your team ready? Why are they not prepared? How can you have a start like that and then follow it up at the beginning of the second period and then again in the third period? Mm-hmm. And that's just got to go back to Sheldon. And why isn't your team prepared? I think ultimately, you know, they're going to, everybody's going to point fingers and say, okay, it's a slow start to Austin and Mitch has only got one goal and, you know, the defense isn't looking great, but, there's no excuse as far as I'm concerned for forget about one bad start to a period, but all three. Mm-hmm. And, they're just not ready to play. And, that's a Sheldon question.
In what ways could Sheldon be failing the team in that regard? Like, it's on him to get the team ready, but I don't think he's like coming into the office late, mailing it in. You know what I mean? Like,
how
would he impact that?
Well, I think there's just at certain times, I think there's been entitlement in the organization that you're just going to come to the rink and you're going to play, and you start listening to your press clippings. And, you know, there was a big buildup, guys, at the beginning of the year that this team's deeper. It's better. The depth is there. The new guys that we found will replace the old guys. And now there's more options. I can play a fourth line late in a period or late in the game, and we're just so much better. And they're not, or at least they're not for the first seven games. And it's to the point where you look at the certain players that got built up during training camp, like Obey Kubel and Malgin and Aston Reese, and they're all out of the lineup in Vegas.
Yeah.
They haven't been good enough to play in the biggest game of this early season, and that's in Vegas. So I think it's fine that you hold them accountable and say, if you're not ready to play or you're not contributing, you're going to be out of the lineup. But it's a tough pill to swallow, mm-hmm. I think, for a lot of people when you have to go back to a look that you never originated during the off season, and that is, of course, Kyle Clifford and Wayne Simmonds. But I think, again, you know, whether it's right or wrong, it just doesn't matter. It's just, you know, the history of the game suggests that if a team's not ready to play, the first person you hold accountable is the head coach to say why.
It is surprising how easily the wins can sort of blow in a different direction. You mentioned Obe Kubel and Zach Aston-Reese and what the plans were, and they determined 10 days ago that Simmons and Clifford didn't belong, and now they're playing fourth line minutes. Now, it wasn't a masterpiece by any means from them, but it goes to the, it all comes back to Keith, you're right. Like, why is this decision being made? Why was the decision made in the first place? And is he making the decisions now? I feel like those are all fair questions.
Well, for sure. And general managers and presidents are involved, and there's no question that this is Kyle Dubas's lineup. This is these are the guys that he found, and these are the guys that have to shine. And Kyle's in a position where he needs a new contract, and it'd be great to find the next Bunting. And for the most part, Kyle's built a reputation up of being able to find other people's mistakes, or didn't undervalued, and he's gotten lucky, or not lucky, but fortunate with Bunting, and to a lesser extent even Lyubushkin, who came out of Arizona and ended up doing a pretty good job. No question, he brought a presence that was missing last year. And unfortunately, it's missing again this season. But those were strengths of Kyle Dubas, is finding those type of undervalued players. And right now, that hasn't been the case with, my estimation, Yarncroc, Aston-Reese, Malgin. Malgin was pumped up pretty good during training camp. We know that, right?
Oh, yeah.
Top six, can he play with Tavares? And now he can't play at all. Like, where are we here moving forward with him?
And it was to give it a little extra cash to Zach Aston-Reese, which forced you to make the Malgin decision over Robertson. So all these things are connected, obviously. So the horn sounds last night, 3-1 loss, not a very inspired performance. How edge of the seat intrigued were you with Keefe's presser, given what you just saw and what we heard from him last week?
Well, I think there's a level of frustration in many ways, no different than what Vancouver's experiencing now with just not getting the most out of your lineup. But I think based on what Sheldon just experienced last week, he's going to choose his words carefully here. It's still, I know there's a sense of, okay, how long can you wait? But, at the end of the day, it's still just seven games in. I think what's established now after seven games is the task is going to be a lot more difficult to earn points. And Detroit, I think someone mentioned last night that they're the only team in the league without a regulation loss, if I'm not mistaken. Montreal has certainly got some tremendous energy to start the season. Ottawa won again last night. So the task of accumulating points may be a lot more difficult this season than what the Leafs have experienced in the past. And I think all that we've really kind of felt in the early going here is that it might be a bigger dogfight to get to those 100 points, which came, I wouldn't say easy for the Leafs, but with a greater flow than what we've seen in the first half dozen games.
Kipper, last night, John Tavares looked like he had, fractured a kneecap. It was a bit scary for a while there. And then you start to look ahead and think, oh, what would happen if there was an injury to someone of that relevance or that importance to this team? Did you start to think about the makeup of this team at all and how vulnerable they are with somebody of that magnitude going down?
Well, who didn't, first of all? And, good on John. He's got off to, I think, a really good start, and seems to be really engaged and set up again Willie Nylander for a really important goal last night. So, yes, it is not pretty after that. And they like Kerfoot, but Kerfoot, to me, is a perfect 6-9, you know, who can sometimes come in and cover up for you a little bit on the top line. But to me, he's not a true top six guy. And that would be your only choice. But you know, there's lack of depth everywhere. Look at the Stanley Cup champions. They don't even have a true second line centerman. And they're going to have to address that at some point during the season. But yeah, it was nice to see John come back. And certainly I was with everybody watching him leave the ice. Even as he went through the tunnel with bearing no weight on his leg at all, was a huge concern. And seems at least today that the Leafs dodged a huge, huge bullet.
Certainly, and impossible, you're right, to not go down the rabbit hole, to not think about what it could mean if one of the core four players does go down. Because, you know, and tying it to Kessel, it's like the Leafs don't have a player whose job, a player that's maybe in the bottom six, middle six, whatever. They don't have a player other than those core four players whose job it is to score goals. Like even Vegas has Kessel. There's the Burakovsky with Colorado last year. Like they don't have a guy who can step up and fill a void, a scoring void, other than maybe Nick Robertson, who's already been tasked with doing that. It just seems like one of the depth concerns and what we're talking about with the identity of this team and what Kyle Dubas wanted to put together is that he prioritized limiting goals scored against with everybody but the core four, which puts so much pressure on them. And as Ailish mentioned, just leaves them so vulnerable if someone goes down. Do you think that there is a need with this team? And if they are going to use Jake Muzzin's salary cap money, if he can't come back this season, that they need to bring in scoring with this team? Scoring is a big issue?
I don't know when it was a few days ago on Real Kipper and Born. I had mentioned that they actually miss Jason Spezza.
Yeah, because at least it was someone who had some talent in the bottom six. Scoring talent.
When he was out there, like, you can see what Jason was about his whole career. And for the majority of it, vast majority of it, he was a top threat offensively. Yeah, people had issues sometimes defensively or whatever. But that talent that he had on a few occasions over the course of, what, 2-3 years for the Leafs, like you could see he was a threat out there that mm-hmm. he could toe drag one and go forehand, backhand and put it up in the net with ease. And you're totally right that there's so much pressure now on Austin and Mitch and John Tavares and Willie Nylander that that once you get past that, they don't have anything remotely that looks like a Jason Spezza to go out there. And, you know, again, vast majority of his Leaf career was based on that bottom two lines. And yet he could still find a way to get 30 points. And who's going to get 30 points out of Clifford, Simmons, you know, Aston Reese, Kube Obel? Like these guys, the way they're going, they'll be lucky to see a dozen, 15 points, half of that.
Honestly,
unless
Kipper,
they get going.
Kipper, the highest ceiling belongs to Pierre Engvall, who topped off at 15 goals last year. Like that's your next best guy.
And what's he at? He's got goose eggs for six games, does he not?
Exactly. And I don't know if you saw the clip that your co-host shared where he just pulled off one of the easiest excuse to lay the body yesterday. I mean, I think when you assess the issues in terms of that where's that next layer of meaningful play, like Pierre Engvall sticks out like a sore thumb right now.
Yep. And he's carrying over $2 million. And Yarncroc's another one that's carrying over $2 million. And these guys have to produce. It's just an absolute must. And right now, they aren't. And it is putting too much pressure on the big boys right now. There's a disconnect in the Leaf lineup through one through four on the lines, and they got to close the gap on that moving forward.
Last one for you, Kipper. Has Samsonov been the quiet, unsung hero of this team so far? Are you happy with what he's just been able to do quietly, in a sense of just keeping the Leafs in it, especially last night? Like, he made a couple big saves.
So just imagine if he's not in the lineup last night. Oof. and they get average goaltending. What does last night look like? He actually still gave you a chance in the third period to steal a point, and that's all you want out of your goalie, is to give yourselves, to give the team a chance. And he's been great. He's been very good. And Samsonov is the least of their worries right now to straighten this thing out.
Well, that's a good problem to have, because that was the major conversation point coming into the season. Kipper, appreciate you joining us this morning. Looking forward to hearing it all on Kipper and Bourne later this afternoon.
Appreciate it. Have a great day, everybody.
You too.
Thanks, Kipper.
Nick Kiprios, former NHL forward and co-host of Real Kipper and Bourne, which you can listen to later today, and he'll have all his takes ready to rumble for you.
He's right about Samsonov last night. 4.58 expected goals for the Vegas Golden Knights in all situations. Only three given up, so a good night for him.
That's a win.
Most certainly a bad night for the Maple Leafs defensively, that is for sure. So he didn't want to go in too hard on Kessel Hall of Fame, although he did give us his opinion. I share that opinion. I don't think there's a world where Kessel's a Hall of Famer. What about you?
No, but I do think that he won two Stanley Cups, and one of the Stanley Cups he was a key contributor to.
He contributed to both.
But
he almost won a Conn Smythe, which you have to give him credit for, but you also don't, because he didn't win it. You know what I mean?
Like, 100%.
Almost Conn Smythes aren't Conn Smythes.
So that's certainly a huge accomplishment. This, assuming he plays tonight, setting the new Ironman record for the NHL, which will probably never be touched, at least in our lifetimes. I think the next person's 500-600 games away.
Mm-hmm. My compromise would be, you can enshrine that 1,000 straight games. If he gets that, I think that's something that could belong in the Hall of Fame, maybe a little
section.
What do you
mean, like a plaque for that?
Well, there's different things. You commemorate different moments in hockey history. There's, you know, the Golden Goals there. There's all these different things. You could have his stick, his gloves, his whatever from 1,000 straight games, and that lives in the Hall of Fame forever. That's great.
But the problem is, every game that he plays sets a new record.
Well, that's why 1,000's nice hole. You could, at the end of the, you could update it by the end of his career, by the end of the streak, whatever. But 1,000 games is at least a whole number that you could sort of build that off of. But just looking at his hockey reference quickly, he never once even sniffed a major award. 11th in the Calder's, as close as he came.
Who won the Calder that year?
I'll have to pull it up. Lady Bing is the only thing he's ever got meaningful. I was looking at the awards. Meaningful. Lady Bing is the only thing he's actually been given some sort of credit to. So it's... You know, almost Conn Smythe's not enough. Two Stanley Cups helps you. He's played a big role in the international stage, but he doesn't have these individual moments. He doesn't have the individual awards. Kipper nailed it with, you know, he's not going to score 500 goals, I don't think. He's going to get past 1,000 points, but that's not enough nowadays. Like, it's a narrative play more than anything else, in that we like Phil Kessel.
That's
and
right.
We want to put him in the Hall of Fame. His numbers don't stack up to the players that we've seen go in recent seasons. I just don't think it's particularly close.
Text in 590-590 if you fall in line with this. If you're just a big Phil Kessel simp and you want him in the Hall of Fame, sell us on it.
Calder Trophy went to Evgeny Malkin that year.
That's pretty good. Wow.
I almost said Malgin. I think I actually might have said Malgin.
Dennis Malgin win the Calder Trophy. Wouldn't that be fun? Hey, apparently, thanks to Mike in the text line, today is National Greasy Food Day. What's your go-to national greasy food? Send that in as well at 590-590. We got your wake and rake submissions, but I'd love to know.
I'm sure no jokes will be made with the two things we're asking for text opinion on. Phil Kessel and food.
You just put that in the stratosphere.
I'm just saying that's a part of the Phil Kessel story. Erroneous reports.
Erroneous.
I believe. You
I
know,
love when you throw out these SAT words of the day.
Should have put me at Dartmouth.
How about the melee yesterday? Got the melee and the erroneous. Yeah. That's Justin Cuthbert.
Those two words are not on the same level. Melee is not like this advanced.
I know, but nobody says melee.
Everyone says melee.
Really? Everybody.
A melee is a melee. Like what's the other word for melee? Large fight?
Like a tussle.
A tussle can be one person. A melee is there's like multiple parts going on. Don't worry. We'll expand your horizons.
We're having a melee.
We'll work on the vocabulary. It's great.
We're having a melee in the wake and rake with your submissions, the Agra submission, and we're looking to get some wins here, folks. That's next. The Wake and Rake brought to you by Unibet on the Fan Morning Show with Justin and Ailish. On the Dan Morning Show, our birthday boy, Danielle, happy birthday. That's next on the after the break. Wake and Rake.
Everything you need to know about the Blue Jays, Blair and Barker. Be sure to subscribe and download the show on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Wake up!
Now it's time for Wake and Rake.
You could be raking in the dough with your kind of accuracy.
Show me the money!
With Ailish and Justin.
It's time for the Wake and Rake, brought to you by Unibet. Crazy about the odds. No Toronto sports tonight. But that's okay, because you have a run of NBA and NHL games to view.
A little breather, honestly.
If you fancy, you can go see a movie tonight. It's cheap movie night. You can go eat some greasy foods, which is National Greasy Food Day.
You can debate Phil Kessel's Hall of Fame candidacy with your friends.
You sure can. Here's a good one. I just got to read it, okay? Slim and Guelph. Oh. I bet Phil Kessel gets into the odd melee over greasy food.
I told you they were going to be in there.
Yeah.
I don't think he has any... I mean, yeah, we saw him hacking away at John Scott way back when he was a Maple Leaf, but mm-hmm. I don't think he has much of a acrimonious, there's another word for you, bone in his body.
What are you, looking at the thesaurus between breaks?
No, I'm just trying to
Justin runs to the bathroom and looks up words on his phone.
I literally didn't leave the studio.
Peter in Oakville says, no one says melee. Yeah, Peter, you're right. Dumb word.
Okay, you two.
Why don't you put another vowel
hockey,
on that
watch
word?
Hockey, play hockey. You've never heard the word melee?
I have heard it, but you've said it 15 times in 24 hours.
Well, now it's to needle you.
It's like
it's not
you have,
for any other reason but to do
like
that.
Like they pay you per word, per melee. I asked you what your favorite greasy food was. Matt in Hamilton says, Hutch's fish and chips, best greasy fish.
Honestly, I think fish and chips is the best greasy food. It's not what I go to all the time, but I feel like I feel like it scores the highest on average.
For me, it's a greasy burger. Like a good old diner burger slopping on your hands.
With
good fries.
I wasn't a fan before, and then you said slopping all over your hands.
But you know what I mean, though. I'm not talking about like a polite burger. It's a greasy food day. I'm not asking for like a fancy, polite burger. Like if I'm going to get a greasy burger, it's
so
a greasy
if you
burger.
Go to a local fast food, is it like you're getting
a local fast food? Like,
connect the dots here.
I mean, maybe
you're getting a burger. Like you're getting a beef burger.
I've really been into chicken sandwiches
lately.
That's what I was going to say.
Like I get it. Anytime I'm doing fast food, I do chicken sandwich.
I'm going to give free promotion to my favorite place in Toronto. Heartbreak Chef. If you haven't ordered the chicken sandwich from Heartbreak Chef, order it. Send me a message. It will change your life. That's
noted.
All. Moving forward.
I will write that down.
Okay. So we have a lot of submissions in the text line for Wake and Rake. And you know what? People got funky today. I like it. New names. Love that you're tuning in, trying to help the parlay. We need that.
Yeah. Keep them coming.
And we have a collection of player props, which people are ready to share on the air. So let's, do you want to go through those to begin? We'll pick our anchor and then we'll throw ours in there. And actually, we're going to let Dan from the Dan Morning Show, Birthday Dan, choose the anchor today. So we'll read them out. Dan's going to highlight. He's going to come on the air, and he's going to let us know.
Okay.
Okay. Let's start with Cody from St. Catharines, loyal texter. Tonight, I like the Rangers and Avs on the under. Neither team has hit the over in a week. It's a battle of the goalies with Georgiev. Returning to New York was something to prove. It's the perfect Eilish revenge game. I absolutely love this because Georgiev's my Bulgarian comrade.
Mm-hmm. I actually really like the pick. I think it's a great pick because Shesterkin has not had a great start to his season. I will say, too, by the way, cashed out of my Shesterkin MVP.
Wow.
Because I think the price is going to drop because he hasn't been very good to start. So I might revisit that later, but just in terms of transparency, I'm out of that market at the moment.
All right. Well, Cody has been a loyal texter. I really like your bet, but we'll see. Kaprizov over 3.5 shots. That's Chris in Moncton, another loyal guy.
Sounds very reasonable. Haven't been too in tune with what Kaprizov is doing other than struggling with Minnesota, so... It seems reasonable, but I don't have much to offer.
Cole Caulfield, over 2.5 shots. Wilder giving up 35 shots per game so far. Young kids in Montreal should feast tonight. That's Big Mac. Another guy.
If it's 35 average, I probably would expect Caulfield to get 3.
Here's a new texter. Welcome, Brad from Etobicoke. Jaden Ivey, over 14.5 points. Hit that mark every game so far.
I know Dan Morning Show back there is doing some work on that right now.
Yeah.
Figuring out if that's a good bet or not.
Kale Makar over 0.5 goals. Kale becomes cake with this sweet pick. Nothing sweeter than free money. Matt in Toronto. I love Matt.
It's been a kind of a quiet start for Makar, too.
Everyone's washed. Andrew Wiggins over 16.5 points. Has scored over 20 in the last 3 games. Alternate pick, Shea. I was like, Shea DeVee. Shea on his over for points, but I don't have that line. That's Jagan Scarborough.
Couple to consider.
We're just crushing through these. Wake and Rake. Jer Bear and Barry. Another new text there. Welcome. Kyle Kuzma over 17.5 points. Easy money. I love when they put like a little like, it's a lock. Easy money. Cash that.
Especially from a first time texter. I mean, again, he might have been in there before.
No.
He or she might have been in there before. And we're just noticing it now. But when they come out hot and with all the confidence in the world, I'm paying attention. I don't even know. I honestly don't know what team Kyle Kuzma plays for. I have to admit. I'm not quite sure.
He's on your Lakers, is he not?
I feel like he moved on. We'll get Dan Morning Show in there.
Oh, he's way past that.
Yeah.
Where is he now? Wizards?
He plays for the Wiz.
Yeah. Oh, God. We both fell off with that one. Okay. Simon from Newmarket, with Rasmus Dahlin, your guy, being so hot right now, I like him in the over 2.5 shots. Hey, you're a big Dahlin guy.
Simon speaking my language. That, hey, see that Norris price? It's dropped.
See that Norris price?
It's dropped.
They're listening. Unibet's on it. Another one here, double Big Mac. Again, Jaden Ivey over 23.5 points, rebounds, and assists. Has hit it 5 out of 5 times. Chris Paul under 26.5 points, rebounds, and assists. Has hit it 5 out of 5 times. Jaden Ivey over 14.5 points. Oh, my goodness. Parlay pieces. Andrew Wiggins over 16.5 points. Just $5. Phil Kessel over 4.
Big Mac is spraying the
board.
That's too much for me.
Basically runs the Wake and Rake is Big Mac.
Yeah, that my brain's not working. That's too much. Parlay pieces he prefaces it with, though. So things to look over. Don't delete anything of the doc today. I'm going to go over here.
I might do
a spray the board myself. But should we go to Dan?
Wait. There's another one just joined. Alex from Toronto. Kadri, no points at plus 150. He hasn't been rolling like we thought he would. And Pittsburgh has been pretty solid. Ooh, I've never bet a no points. It's kind of sad.
It doesn't seem like a bet year. Like, it doesn't seem the most like entertaining bet. Cheering on someone to not do well?
Yeah. Just fading them. Okay, so Dan Morning Show, Daniele, birthday boy. Take a look through and tell us what you're interested in.
Oh, a lot of great submissions this morning. Let's start there, and it's great to see some different names too. I like a lot of the basketball ones. I actually agree with a lot of the player props, and I find that you can get some good value on those numbers, especially in today's NBA where scoring's pretty high. I narrowed it down to 3 that I like. And I think if I power rank them right now, it's probably, I would say, Brad from Etobicoke is number 1 for me, I would say.
New Brad.
I think the Jaden Ivey pick is good. He's hit the mark every single time. Also, I have a little bit of a sweet spot for Jaden Ivey. I really like him. Jeg from Scarborough with Mr. Wiggins, Mr. Vaughn himself.
Mm-hmm.
He's been terrific. He's actually quietly been the Warriors' second best player behind Steph Curry. So far.
Behind Kyle Kuzma.
The numbers,
guy plays everywhere.
and the number's pretty reasonable. 16.5. He scored more than 20 every single time. He's been up into, 23, 24 points a game. So that's, I think, solid value there. And what a game that should be competitive enough that he's going to be playing, right? And then Kyle Kuzma. He had two solid games to start the season. Had a bit of a stinker in his last one. But did manage to still score in double figures. But so I kind of like, I think those three, I would power rank them in that fashion. If I had to pick one, I'd say maybe we go with Jaden Ivey.
You do have to pick one.
I'd say we go with Jaden Ivey.
Let's roll with it.
Okay, but let me just tell you that the player points has shifted. So it's no longer 14.5.
Yep.
It's 15.5. Are we feeling confident with that, Brad from Etobicoke?
Yeah, let's roll with that. Let's keep rolling with Jaden Ivey, and 15.5 is a fair number. They're playing the Wizards, should be lots of points.
Let's get it before it goes to 16.5.
Boom. It's locked in on the Wake and Rake. Thanks for all the submissions, everybody. Love that we're spraying the board of the new names. 590, 590, always taking them. That's our selection today. Brad from Etobicoke, a new joiner on the Wake and Rake anchor.
Before we get into our picks, I want to just suggest something from the NFL front. Looking over what the NFC postseason bracket might look like.
Yes.
And it seems pretty obvious that the Dallas Cowboys are going to finish fifth in the conference, second in the division behind the Philadelphia Eagles, which would put them in the position to start the playoffs on the road versus the fourth seed. The fourth seed is probably going to go to the winner of the NFC South, which will either be the Buccaneers or the Atlanta Falcons.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm looking at who could get to the final four in the NFC pretty quickly, who could potentially, at a longer price, go to an NFC championship game and give you a decent chance to cash a big ticket. And I think Dallas is probably the best bet in the NFC right now. So I played a little Dallas Cowboys to win the NFC at plus 850 yesterday. I think you could get to potentially an NFC championship game versus Philly, maybe upset Philly in the second round of the playoffs. But with Dak coming back, a simplified approach, the running game looks really good. The defense obviously is great. I think the best bet right now in the NFC is the Dallas Cowboys.
Do you have the odds on that?
It was plus 850 yesterday. So I jumped on that.
I like that.
The NFC is weak.
You're a big futures guy, eh?
I am. That's the cut bet is the future. I'm always looking at the
always looking
the
forward, eh?
Not worried about.
Don't live in the moment.
Yeah. Well, but this, okay, so let's run it down. Philly's number one. They're great.
Yes.
Undeniably, you're not going to bet on them right now because there's no value. Minnesota's the second seed. They're brutal. Like, they're the best. They're the second best team, but they're not a good football team. Third best would be either the Rams, the 49ers, maybe the Seahawks. Like, there's a lot to decide in the NFC West. And again, as I mentioned, the NFC South is probably going to hold down the fourth seed. And then you got Rams, 49ers, 6-7. There's going to be a group of teams, maybe the Packers. But none of them really inspire. Like, it's wide open right now for the Eagles, it seems. And if I had to pick one team to be, to go against them, to be a contrarian, to potentially upset what looks like a pretty easy path for Philly, I think it's the Eagles right now. So, again, I'm in plus 850.
Speaking of football, we had our Monday tiebreaker, oh boy, for our pick aside. We went Patriots -8.5. You went Patriots -16.5 in your same game parlay. That was embarrassing.
Hey,
so
you had to take shots.
We lost majorly. So the updated score is 8-8 from Team AJ and Team DJ.
Just deadlocked heading into week 8.
Week 8, 8-8.
There you go.
Ooh. Okay.
Spooky Halloween this
spooky
weekend as well.
Spooky season. It is Halloween this week. We got to talk about Halloween tomorrow.
Yeah, we'll do that.
Okay, so send in, or sorry, no, we got it. Justin, what is your Wake and Rake selection? Send me in your Wake and Rake submission, Justin.
Adding to Jaden Ivey over 15.5 points, I got two pick'em hockey games tonight that I'm considering. The first being Colorado at the New York Rangers, basically -110s on
my
each side.
My Rangers, though.
But seeing Cody from St. Catharines rationale with the under 6.5, I almost like that more, but I'm not going to steal his pick. So instead, I'll go to the other pick'em hockey game tonight, which is the New Jersey Devils in Detroit. The Devils started off brutally. Like, they were an embarrassment. A lot of the Vancouver Canucks discussion was kind of centered around them early on. If we're talking about south of the border and disasters, but they've righted the ship a little bit. However, Detroit, as we were talking to Kipper just a second ago, haven't lost in regulation yet, have been one of the better teams to start the year. They've got a little rest. Jersey played last night. So I'm going to take Detroit at home, minus 110, to beat the New Jersey Devils as my wake and rake pick. And I did break the goose egg last night. We didn't win the wake and rake, but I finally did get a W, so maybe I can turn things around here.
I love it. I was my under did not hit because Bailey Zappi and crew came in and switched things around, and that's fine.
Safe to say that game didn't go as expected.
It did not. Okay, I like your selection. I will be adding to our three-leg parlay with the Tampa Bay Lightning on the money line. They're playing the LA Kings, and they're only minus 132 on the money line, which is, you know, a bit shocking for a team which is much better than the LA King. So I'm feeling like I like a little Lightning action tonight. It is a late night game, unfortunately. I apologize for that. Just wake up and see what you think in the morning.
Okay.
But I haven't just done a straight money line bet in a while, and so I'm going to do that.
Tampa Bay's kind of languishing a little bit at the bottom of the Atlantic. Like a lot of...
They need a statement game.
It's kind of crushed together, but when you wake up and you see that you're, what, sixth or seventh in the division?
Yeah.
It's maybe a little uncomfortable. Maybe it gets the juices flowing a little bit for Tampa Bay. They put it all together and knock off the Kings. I'm down with that pick.
All right. So we have our full parlay for you, the Wake and Rake parlay brought to you by Unibet. Tampa Bay Lightning on the money line over the Kings. Jaden Ivey over 15.5 points. That's Brad from Etobicoke. And the Dan Morning Show selection, happy birthday, Danielle. And Detroit Red Wings on the money line over the New Jersey Devils. All together, our Wake and Rake is plus 569 on this beautiful Tuesday. Not a lot of Toronto sports, none to be exact, happening tonight. So you can sprinkle your viewing wherever you fancy. One thing that I saw, which I wanted to share with you in the text line, we're talking about Iron Man streaks. Chris from London texted in, Ailish is one of only 8 big green players to appear in all 28 games in the 2015-2016 season for Dartmouth. What an iron girl that is.
Oh, God.
Honestly, put me in the conversation with Phil Kessel. Hand in hand, we're up there. Iron man, iron woman. I don't know. It's, he's on to something, Chris.
First off, how is this?
Good for you.
Just shameless self-promotion, but also
how is this
even?
You know what? That was after the year that I redshirted, so I had taken a whole season off. I came back with a vengeance, and I played the whole season with a mangled hip.
Yeah, were you, you know, Phil Kessel route? Were you just skating up and down the wing, or are you in the corners?
I was line mates with an Olympian. Never heard of her?
Yeah, so, I mean, she was doing all the work?
No, she's doing all the work.
I'm
riding her coattails.
Okay.
Regardless, thanks, Chris, for the hard work, for the promotional boost for me this morning. I need
it. So, Kipper and Laura Stacey, you.
And Phil Kessel.
Phil Kessel.
Same. All right, that was the Fan Morning Show for you all today. Thanks for listening. We will be back tomorrow morning, Wednesday, with a little Raptors home action, right, against the Sixers.
Yep.
And happy birthday again to producer Danielle. Enjoy your day. I hope you get a little bit of R&R. And let's win the Wake and Rake today. Thanks for listening. This is the Fan Morning Show with Justin and Ailish.